Very busy first hour. We had a lot of really good guests and some bizarre callers. Continuing on with more callers and then a few more guests as we are early in the program. A lot of conversation about what is happening in Washington, D.C., among other things that are happening in Washington, D.C. At this hour, a number of SEC football coaches, presidents, ADs, and executives from really all over college athletics have converged there for two different events. The one we just got through talking about with President Robbins, and then the SEC reception tonight and all day tomorrow. Mackenzie is up next. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good.
Wonderful.
Well, Paul, I called a few months ago, and I got on the show, and I'm 9, and I'm going in the 4th grade.
Uh-huh. So, Mackenzie, where in Alabama do you live?
Alexander City.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm 9 years old. What do you have planned for the summer yet? Do you have any plans?
Yes, sir. I am probably going to go to the pool throughout the summer. I'm going to go to my friend's house.
Okay.
And I just have a lot of plans, and it's going to be really fun.
Well, you sound like you've got a great summer ahead. Wouldn't you like to be 9 again?
Yes.
Knowing what we know now. Mackenzie, you have a great day. Thanks so much for calling us. I hope you'll call again. Catherine is up next. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Paul. It's good to talk to you. My goodness. So are you going to Washington tomorrow?
Right after the show. I'm heading up there.
Oh, wow. Are you going to be there for the evening reception?
It's going to be close.
Okay. Wow, that's really exciting. We'll be looking forward to
There was only one way to get there for the reception tonight, and that was to miss the program today, and I didn't feel comfortable doing that. So, yeah, I'll be back Friday. I won't be here tomorrow.
Oh, I feel like I'm talking to a real celebrity now, man. It's like Mr. Feinbaum goes to Washington.
Yeah, no, I would imagine if you put me next to I would think the football coaches are garnering most of the selfies right now on Capitol Hill. They would probably think I'm an administrative aide.
Well, you go up there and you can teach them something.
Here, could you mind taking our picture?
Well, they definitely could use some intelligence up there and some people with some southern charm and kindness. And
well,
the whole country could use that.
Yeah, I had somebody approach me at one point a couple of years ago about running for public office, and I said, I've got a few friends, Catherine, who have been involved in public office. This was before Tuberville. I don't want to include him in my conversation. And I'd say about 80% of them have served time in federal prison, and I really am not looking to finish my life out behind bars. I much prefer being on this side of the aisle than being up there. I mean, it's exciting, and I've been there a number of times, and anytime you walk through the halls of Congress, it's a rush, but I'll let somebody else do it.
All right. Well, listen, the question I wanted to ask you, though, is who do we really look to for a good quarterback this year since, we've lost Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson and Stetson Bennett? So, I mean, it's going to be like a new crop or something, maybe. Or who do you think is going to be good?
I know there's a lot of excitement about K.J. Jefferson at Arkansas, Daniels at LSU, Rattler, but I think those are the names that you hear, Wegman at A&M, but you know, who will emerge? It's one thing to be the preseason guy. It's another thing. Spencer Rattler, 2 years ago, was the preseason Heisman favorite at Oklahoma, or 3 years ago.
Oh, right. Yeah, and I guess I've missed who's in the running in Florida.
It's the transfer Graham Mertz who's getting a lot of the attention, but I think it's to be determined at Florida.
Okay, Well, I certainly hope that we can have a decent year. It just seems like there's a lot going on up there.
Yeah, there is, and I think it's really important for Billy Napier to surprise some people this year. I'm not saying he has to, you know, have a great record, but I think he has to win a game. I mean, you remember last year when they beat Utah in the opening game. There was an excitement back in Gainesville that we really haven't seen in a long time, and it lasted exactly 1 week. Catherine, thank you very much. Expired is up next.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
Very well,
hey,
thank you.
I got something for all the callers. All you need to know about Tim Brando is read his tweets, number one, and number two, his best friend's Jim. Okay, that's all you need to know. The old boy a while ago that called from Arkansas, was his name Trey?
Yes.
Talking about KJ Jefferson and no respect and all that mess. Well, I mean, first of all, your mascot's a pig. Second of all, Trey,
I know I'm supposed to be nonpartisan, but I can't help but laugh when something is funny. You agree?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Randy agrees.
He did.
And I know he does. All right. The second thing is, I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Con Air, okay?
Yeah, I have.
But if you have, okay. Well, Trey talks like Garland Green, and I'm not gonna get into the substance of that. But my goodness, man, he loses me just listening to him talk. Man, he's got one of the worst voices I've ever heard, and that's just the truth. And that's my opinion, since we're in this for opinions. The third thing I'll talk about today is they are completely right, and it's been what I've been saying. The Fighting Texas Aggies football roster is loaded, like a baked potato that has like brisket on it with some cheese and some sour cream and onions. Now, I don't know if that potato is cooked, though. That's the problem, okay? And we're going to find out pretty early. I know everybody's saying, well, I think it's going to blow up because of Jimbo and Petrino. Hey, man, these are two older guys trying to one's trying to keep his job, because believe it or not, the Aggies are crazy enough to buy him out. And the other one knows a couple good seasons, and he might pop up as a head coach again somewhere. So they both have a lot to prove, and they have a lot on the line, Paul. And when you have that, sometimes it tends to work out. If it works out, Connor Wigman will be the top quarterback in the SEC. And finally, to all my LSU friends, okay, love you guys. That was a really nice call earlier. I want to say I went down there and watched the game. Only two real buttholes to us. The rest of them were great. We ate a lot of good gumbo. Really would like to meet old guy that's on the rig. But if I do meet the guy that's on the rig out there, I'm going to make sure my wife's not around.
Yeah,
you
no.
Guys have a great day.
I mean, you might be okay with your wife, but just not right after he got off the rig.
Exactly.
Give him... Solid 48. Yeah, give him just a little bit of time. He'll, I mean, I don't know. How long is he on the rig? 4 months?
Six.
6 months? I mean, if you think about this, expired. You're on the rig for 6 months. How long does it take you to catch up?
I don't know, but that's, you know, my wife already told me she wants to rub your head, so I don't need her around anybody else, just Paul Feinbaum.
No, she's safe around me.
I'm going to keep him. Hey, Dwayne, I'm going to tell you right now,
I wouldn't let my dog around Dwayne right after he got off that rig.
Oh, man, that's great. That's gold.
Hey, thanks. We'll take a short break. pretty much expired me right there. We will be back. More of your phone calls. We've already had the president of the University of Arizona on, Bud Elliott, number of guests coming up shortly.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Barry Trammell will join us in a few minutes. Later on, John Adams. Let's check in with Peyton in Colorado next. Hey, Peyton.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this afternoon?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. I wanted to ask you just a couple questions just to keep the show flowing. First off, I want to ask you about the college football realignment cycle. You know, we see teams basically feels like they're moving every single day. Are there any schools you want to see in different conferences? Like, do you have any preferences for schools to come to the SEC?
Well, I mean, I ultimately would like to see some of the ACC schools make the way here.
Any in specific?
Well, I think the ones you hear the most would be Clemson and Florida State. I think they have the most natural fit into the SEC. I mean, you know, some of the other ones are interesting. I mean, Miami would be appealing, but I think Miami and North Carolina schools like that might be better suited elsewhere.
Yeah, and then also in 5 years' time, what do you think the highest number of schools we'll see in one conference will be?
I think we could go to 20, but it won't happen immediately because we have to see how this absorption works. And I think last year for a couple of days, it looked like maybe the whole thing would blow up, but it held up primarily because Notre Dame chose not to go. If Notre Dame had moved last year, it would have created a rush. But right now, I think it's you know, so the Big 12 and the Pac-12 may not be stable, but I think the SEC and the Big 10 are. Hey, thank you. Pretty appreciate your call very, very much. Mike is up next in New Orleans. Hey, Mike.
Thank you, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you.
A couple of things. I mean, first of all, I listen to your show all the time. I enjoy listening to some of your crazy callers. I don't mean that. That's not an indictment.
That's okay.
My opinion, but a couple of things. I know last week the whole 18-19 thing. Was determined, at least for next year. What I don't understand, and maybe you can tell me, this is what you might know, is when the decision was made to take Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC, why was this not a big, huge topic of how it was going to be handled? Maybe it was.
It was a big deal. So the story comes out. The first thing you heard was reaction, primarily from Texas A&M. And then once we got over that in a couple of days, the question was then when would it happen? At first it was said it would happen in 2025. So nothing really moved quickly after that. And then there began some conversation about whether it could happen earlier because the buyout for Oklahoma and Texas was enormous.
Right.
When the commissioner leadership changed at the Big 12, it made it easier to get them in earlier. And then the conversation started raging about when they would get in and how it would work once they did.
Right. I made that comment, but that's not really an indictment either. But, you know, the powers that be, the, you know, all the people in the know to me, that would have been, how are we going to do this? Not only, okay, it's happening fast, but how are we going to do it?
Well, no, but Mike, in fairness, they have been working on schedules for about a year and a half. And, you know, there has been a model. The divisions were going to go away. That was fairly well known.
Okay.
Then the question was, would it be 8 versus 9? I'm sure if I went deep into Greg Sankey's computer tonight, I could find the schedule that's going to be released next Wednesday. It's already done because it's already they had all these combinations that they looked at, and the athletic directors hashed these things out months ago.
Well, I mean, I respect that. I mean, I'm like I said, it might have sounded like I've been overly critical, but you know, that's not my intent. I'm just saying.
But Mike, thanks for the call. The only question is how different will the schedule look for 8 games versus 9? Will it essentially be the same thing? We'll even though we won't have the 3 permanent and then the 6 because it's 8, will we still see some variation? We know there's going to be 1 permanent, but that doesn't mean because this is only this very likely is a 1-year deal, whether we won't see a similar situation than we would have seen with 9. I really don't know. I haven't seen it, but we'll find out in about a week. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Connor is in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hello, Connor.
Hello, Paul. Big fan.
Thank you.
By the way, my question was, and I'm a Clemson fan, but I take a lot of slack from my SEC fans that are my friends that are SEC fans. And my question would be is if Clemson went to the SEC, do you think they could compete? Because I believe that they would compete well, but, you know, others don't agree with that.
Yeah, I think they would. I think Clemson has been nipping at the SEC's heels for a number of years. They've beaten the SEC head-to-head quite a few times, including the 2 national championship games against Alabama. They dipped a little bit last year, but I think based on what Bud Elliott said earlier and other people, Clemson is coming back pretty well. Thank you for the call. I think they would fit in. Joe is up next in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. I called about 3 years ago when Timmy B was accepting phone calls from the listeners. And I told him that he was a narcissistic, egotistical, uninformed individual. And until he got some information and got off his lawnmower, we did not want to hear from him again. Do you remember that call?
I sure do.
And how many more times did he appear during the football season?
I believe that was it.
That was it. So let me tell you something, Paul. A lot of us out here love to listen to your show, listen to your commentary. But when we get these people on here that have got no backup for what they're trying to say, you know, we just shut them off. So, Timmy B, I'm glad you're not on. And thankfully, according to Paul, you will not be on. So we don't need to listen to your drivel anymore. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Joe. Mitch is up next. Good afternoon, Mitch.
Good afternoon, Sir Paul. How are you today?
I am doing well. Appreciate your calling again.
I call because I'm not going to linger on it, but do I sound happy?
You sound good.
I went to the doctor today, and we're going to try the cast and work our way into the crow boot, and he thinks that's going to work.
Well, that is fantastic news based on what you told us a week ago.
Well, I mean, it can always go the other way, but I don't believe in worrying about that. I believe in enjoying the moment. And, you know, we're only here for so many days, and if you can't make every one of those days be a happy day, then shame on you.
Yeah, it's funny, Mitch. I heard this conversation once with a doctor. It was about elective surgery, but something that was necessary. And the person said to him, "Yeah, I really don't know if I want to take a risk because a couple of years from now, maybe." And the guy said, "Why are you wasting 2 years by not doing what you could do today?" And it's a really I realize yours is inverse, but it's the same thing that you can only do so much about things that are outside of your control. And in this case, you're leaning on professionals to tell you what to do.
Exactly, and my Tigers are looking good this week.
Oh, what else matters?
What else matters?
It looks like I'm going to have to put up with you Clemson fans another season.
Well, you got to put up with something.
Hey, speaking of doctors, I went to I'm trying to think of what it was. Yeah, it was a dentist. It wasn't a doc. It wasn't a medical doctor for something wrong. But my dentist left. He retired, so a new guy came in. I'm in there a couple weeks ago, and there's two guys, and I didn't know either one of them because it was the first time. And the guy walks in and says, "I'm so and so, Dr. Jones." I said, "Okay." He said, "Don't hate me. I'm a Clemson graduate." I'm like going, just look at my teeth and get out of my sight, man. It was like, you Clemson people. And I've got another guy I've got to see for something else. And he's a Clemson guy.
Good gosh, everywhere.
Well, let me call him ahead of time and tell him.
I'm scared to death. Unfortunately, these are not critical things. I mean, these are...
They ain't gonna put you under.
One's about my teeth. The other's an eye doctor, and I can't stay away from you guys.
Well, my optometrist is an Ohio State grad.
Well, no, I would draw the line there.
But I like him. He's good.
Well, one day they're gonna come in here. Randy's gonna be here, and we can say, "Well, we regret to inform you that Mr. Feinbaum, was having his teeth cleaned earlier this morning, and he didn't make it." And you're going to know why.
Well, I told you I have a tattoo of a paw on one of my teeth.
I did not remember that.
On one of my molars.
Listen, thanks for that, Mitch. We'll talk soon. Thanks for the call. We're up against the break. We need to scoot because we have a guest waiting. Barry Trammell will join us from out in Oklahoma.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Latest from the Oklahoman. What about the future of the Big 12? Brett Yormark facing resistance to adding Gonzaga in UConn. I wonder, hard to imagine you wouldn't think that was a great fit for a conference that's located in Texas. Barry Trammell joining us. Barry, thank you. A lot to discuss with you about next week and the future with Oklahoma. But let's start with where the present and ultimately the future stands and sits with the Big 12. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Yeah, a lot of smoke with Colorado and other Pac-12 people, but UConn still lingers out there, and Brett Yormark pretty clearly is using Connecticut in some manner, whether it's to really get the Huskies or he's using them just as a negotiating tool. I don't know, but clearly, UConn is on the lips of a lot of people in the Big 12.
I realize that UConn is really great at basketball. I think that's pretty self-evident, and Gonzaga is too. But what do they bring? I mean, what's the point of doing it that way?
Well, I don't know that the point makes much financial sense. Yes, they would beef up the Big 12 brand in basketball, but even if you break out basketball from the television contracts, which is what Brett Yormark says he wants to do, you're talking about marginal gains in total finances. You're not talking about a big chunk of money. When this is still a football world we're living in. Everybody knows that. So, you know, I gotta believe. For background, Big 12 has a contract with ESPN and Fox, but if they add programs from the Power Five, well, then the pie gets bigger and everybody keeps the same amount of payout. But that does not apply to teams in the West Coast Conference or the Big East. So you're asking Iowa State and Oklahoma State and Texas Tech and TCU to take a haircut if you add UConn, and I don't think they're going to be willing to do that.
Barry, beyond that, we had the president of the University of Arizona on. I asked him about all the rumors out there, and he talked about the never-ending Pac-12 television agreement on the horizon. Those stories that came out early in the week, I mean, do you put any degree of credibility on the Colorado and Arizona to Big 12 story?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of heavy thinking going on in Tucson and Boulder and probably Tempe and Salt Lake, although they may not admit it. Clearly, the Pac-12 schools want to stick together, and frankly, that would be the best thing for them in terms of geography, in terms of history, in terms of college football playoff access. It'd be a lot easier to win a 10-team Pac-12, or even if you beefed it back up to a Pac-12, then a 16-team Big 12. But this is all about money, and if that Pac-12 TV contract, the final offer, comes in $8, $10 million a year less than what the Big 12 teams are getting, well, then a school like Colorado, which is not in great financial shape athletically, frankly, I don't know of anybody that is in great shape financially in the Big 12, with the possible exception of Oregon. So you got to think long and hard about it. So I think what your Pac-12 teams are doing is they're just waiting to the last possible minute to see if a better offer comes through. But until it does, I think the Big 12 carrot looms out there. And at some point, I think it's possible, maybe even likely, that one or two will jump. And if one or two jumps, you might see four total jumps.
Chatting with Barry Trumbull. Barry, a week ago, we were down in Destin speculating about where we would end up, and the SEC finally came in at 8 versus 9. We'll know in a week what the first schedule looks like. What are your thoughts, and what are the people at Oklahoma thinking, both administrators and fans, about how Destin went and what the future looks like in the SEC?
Well, I mean, I think fans probably are with me on this, the majority. 9 seemed a lot better deal. I mean, that's one of the best things about joining the SEC is the upgraded schedule and the marketability for tickets and marquee games and all those things, and to go to 8, it's not a massive difference, but it's a little bit of a difference. And I mean, 4 non-conference games, only one of which will be marquee, and maybe even for Oklahoma, not even that, because they had their 24 schedule turned upside down because they were scheduled to go to Knoxville, play Tennessee. So they're scrambling to find 2 opponents, one of which is supposed to be a Power 5. But I think, and the people on campus are a little bit relieved, because as we've talked before, and as you know, the Sooners of 22 and 23 and maybe 24 are not the Sooners of 17, 18, and 19. The Oklahoma talent level has slipped. They're not the national contender or the playoff contender that they were 3, 4, 5 years ago. And so it's going to take some time to get back to that level. So, the idea of playing 8 games instead of 9 probably appeals to the coaches and administrators.
Barry, other than Texas, and I think we would agree that's obvious and absolute. Who else needs to be in your mind as an observer on the Oklahoma schedule next week?
Well, I mean, I think Arkansas would be really interesting. I don't think, you know, Arkansas is not going to be a permanent rival of OU, but Norman to Fayetteville is incredibly close. We put in a turnpike from Tulsa to the Arkansas line about 15 years ago. And I live in northeast Norman, which is, you know, I'm about 20 miles south of downtown Oklahoma City. I can get to Fayetteville, Arkansas in about 3.5 hours. And my brother, who does not obey the laws of the land, can get there in about 3:05. So it's incredibly close. And yet they've not played in the regular season since they were both in the Southwest Conference in 1919 and 1920.
Wow.
I mean, it's the craziest thing of all time. So that seems like a natural rivalry. So it'd be cool if the Sooners went to the Ozarks or even the Razorbacks came to Norman. And Missouri, you know, is a long-time rival. A&M, a short-time rival. They were in the Big 12 together 15 years. But I do think it's important for the SEC to sort of branch out and forge some new rivalries. You know, if Oklahoma and Florida are going to be permanent rivals in an eventual 9-team format, I'd say get the boat rowing. If that's going to be sort of an intersectional rivalry, let's go. Let's get it moving. And of course, I think the Sooners will get Alabama or Georgia. So, you know, that's just whether you want to get eaten by Godzilla or King Kong. I don't think it really matters to the person who gets eaten.
Finally, on that schedule, I do not know, and I don't think anybody outside of the Birmingham SEC office probably knows, but a week from now, we'll be obsessing over it. And maybe it's my own thinking here, Barry, but it feels like not going to 9, the conference needs to show something next Wednesday night. Are you in that camp? Because if we see everybody playing, two or three good opponents and a bunch of also-rans, I think we'll come off fairly disappointed, won't we?
Yes, and here's another thing. You know, this new show, having the schedule unveil on SEC Network, which is very NFL-like. You know, in the NFL, everybody knows who they're playing and where, and they still have a show. They're just telling you the dates and who the national TV games are. If they give us a show and it doesn't really have a wow factor, I mean, it'll still be on the SEC Network because, I mean, it's the SEC. But, I mean, I think they could make a splash if all of a sudden Oklahoma's playing LSU and Georgia and Tennessee and Alabama's playing Georgia and LSU's playing Tennessee and whoever else, you know, Texas is playing A&M and Arkansas and Alabama and, you know, three or four big jolts. You know, aha moments, get everybody fired up. I think it'd do great for the ratings, and I think it'd do great for the SEC branding in terms of showmanship. So that's another consideration. But, yeah, I'm with you. If OU plays Alabama and Texas and Texas A&M and then a series of South Carolinas and Kentuckys, I don't know that anybody in Oklahoma is going to say, wow, that was something. So I think I assume it'd be the same in Athens and Tuscaloosa and all the places. So,
I know we're just talking here, but it feels like there has to be a way to shut some of that criticism down. And if it looks like the league, I understand trying to help some of the middle to bottom schools get to a bowl game, but I don't think the big dogs need any help.
No, that's true. And here's the other thing. I'm just speculating because I don't know. I'm an outsider just looking in. You probably do know, Paul, and a lot of your listeners probably know. But it seems pretty clear that Greg Sankey wanted 9 games, and he didn't get it. I wonder, does he have the will and or the power to send a message that says, okay, you wanted 8 games, here's 8 games, and move some of the teams that he feels should have voted for 9, send them a message that you mess with the schedule and this is what you might get. So I don't know if that's in the cards, but you know, you can manipulate this schedule to where all kinds of people would get the message that, hey, things could be worse.
I totally agree. I can't wait. A week from now, that will be topic number 1 through 10. Barry, always great to catch up with you. Thank you so very much. Barry Trammell joining us from the Daily Oklahoman. We are heading to a break. We've already had the president of Arizona on, Barry. Bud Elliott, we'll talk to John Adams a little bit later on. Your phone call's around the corner.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, we're back. Wednesday afternoon. Phil is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Paul. You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about your show, among others, is that it sometimes provides an avenue for people to just kind of reminisce. And in my 72 years, I've come to realize that we can experience something at the time, but not really understand its significance, you know, until later with the passing of time. So, with your Memphis, Tennessee background, I wonder if I could share a Memphis memory with you. I know it's off topic, you know,
please.
I'm not bringing up the schedule. Yeah, when I was in college, I was part of an early contemporary Christian music group from Florida, and we were doing a concert in Memphis back in the early 70s, and I remember almost nothing about that trip except for one thing. I remember we were somewhere in town on foot, and we were staring at the entrance to Graceland. Now, to us, college guys at that time, even though Elvis was still alive and performing, to us he was just sort of a curiosity, almost like a sort of a has-been, because it felt like he was sort of left in the dust by the Beatles and all their influence on so much of contemporary rock at the time. So we're standing in front of this wrought iron gate entry with musical notes and a guitar player crafted into both sides of the gate, and suddenly we hear the motor of the gate, and the doors began to open wide, and we're greeted by Elvis's uncle, Vester.
Sure.
And he says, "Hey, boys, would you like to come in and look around?" As if, you know, he's almost as if he was sort of hungry to have some attention or some guests, you know. So he puts all of us into some sort of a Jeep-like vehicle and drives us all over that compound. He didn't bring us into the house, but we saw that whole property, everything on it. I think I remember seeing a plane, at least one, on the grounds. And at the time, it just seemed like, oh, well, that was interesting, you know. And 4 years later, Elvis dies, and that whole place was transformed. And when we saw it, it was like no one was really paying attention. But when he died, wow, what a difference. So looking back, that was quite an experience, you know, quite a memory. And I was just kind of wondering if you had any Graceland memories from being there.
Well, I have one, and I've met him before. The night Elvis died, a friend of mine worked, I was in college, a friend of mine worked for the local newspaper, and we literally climbed over the fence, the back fence, not that fence, but the one in the very back that nobody's paying attention to, and we ran into, I don't know if it was Vester, but, you know, Elvis had everybody he ever met working for him. But my best memory of Elvis, right, is this. I worked at in high school and college, especially early in my college. I worked at a downtown department store, and I worked summers and Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, Phil, Elvis had the store would close at 5:30. And for an hour, he had the store to himself. He would come in and buy everybody presents. And I was a college kid, so I mean, I was kind of shunted to the side, but I saw enough of it from a distance, and it was one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. I didn't meet him because I was 20 years old, and they weren't going to trust me with Elvis Presley. But I mean, I saw the commotion though from a rather short distance, and it was fascinating that one guy takes over. This is not just a small little mom and pop. This is the biggest department store in town. Hey, thank you for calling, and a great memory on Elvis. You know Elvis, Randy? I assume Seemed you played in his band or something. We'll take a break. 2 hours to go.